my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. I am surrounded by songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. We're the sons and the daughters. Let us sing our freedom. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me that I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God.
Power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. You know, Jesus is awesome. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Lord is so awesome. When he came into this world, he just not came into this world to save us. He said, if I don't go back to where I come from, the Comforter will not come. He was talking about a Comforter because he cannot always be here. So he told his disciples that he will send a Comforter who will lead us and teach us all things. And now, if we become born again by the Spirit of the living God, you're born again by His Spirit. But there's another Comforter that on top of that, when God pours it out upon you, is when you go into the Word of God and learn and teach yourself. Others teach you, but the main thing is to go and study the Word to approve yourself what you really are. When he promised his disciples, when he left, when you read it in John, he said, I will go away. It's expedient for me that I go away. That's back to the Father. And if I will go away, I will send you another Comforter. Why? To teach us, to lead us, and to glorify Him. Always remember the Holy Ghost has one thing in mind when He does something, when He speaks, it will glorify Jesus. And if it does not glorify Jesus, it's none of His. And that's what the Spirit of the living God is. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts you and me at the same time for sin, for judgment, for righteousness. At the same time, He'll be a comforter, a leader, and to guide us. And it's all connected to one. All those three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they agree. There is no quarrel. There is strictly, completely one. They do not fight against each other. They are perfectly peace and righteousness. There is no ifs or buts. There is no sin in there. There is totally, completely, it's so hard to understand and to bring it out sometimes. I see it, but sometimes for ourselves to bring it out, it's hard. Because you need to experience it, what God really is. His heart, what His plan is. His plan is not just to save us and to just sit back and relax. No, His plan of salvation is to save you and me, empower you from on high to do what? Preach the word of God, preach the gospel, cast out devils, heal the sick. That's why we're here for. We're not here just to have a good time. We're here to bring this great gospel. And you're going to find out in scriptures when I read them. Why is the gospel so important? Why are we here? What are we to do? Not just go to church, pay our tithes and offerings, and go home and work. No, sure, it's good. We should do that. But at the same time, as the opportunity and God arises something in your heart, you come into a place where you have to pray for a person, or tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed. You are equipped with the power of the Holy Ghost to bring this out. Make sure that you read and study the Word of God. That's very important. I read once years ago, I listened to a preacher. He'd gone home to be with the Lord. Yes, we have many powerhouses of preachers. There is lots of, we know everything. You describe it as a cannon, like to shoot, to kill people. Oh yes, we have the powder. We have everything. But that cannon is not good if you don't have the fire. If you do not have the fire of the Holy Ghost, that cannon is worthless. Just like a bullet from a rifle, it is worthless to just look at the bullet if you don't have that fire capsule to set it off. And that's the way it is with a Christian life. There is the powder, there's the bullet, and there's the fire. We all need them. They go together. Without them, that bullet is useless. So as we go into the message, I ask you to rise and ask the Lord for a blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious holy word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to bring this great gospel out to the uttermost, Lord. I ask you to bless my heart, bless my lips, Lord, as you speak through me. Bless the listeners, and I ask you to bless this service in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. In Acts, when the Acts of the Apostles, when the apostles were told, he said, don't go away, go to Jerusalem, go into the upper room. Now we are in the upper room. That's awesome, eh? Go to the upper room, wait for the promise of the Father. And when he will come, he will be poured out. You will do something for me. Because without the Holy Spirit, it's useless. You know you don't have the guts. Once the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it just starts flowing. You can't control it. It's like a river. Like years ago when you when you go into Ezekiel about when you said you go into a river right at the edge. It's very shallow. It doesn't do nothing. But the deeper you go into the middle, the harder it is to contain yourself because the flow of the river just overtakes you. That's the way the Holy Ghost. The more you go into the Word of God, the more you go into the things of God, the Holy Ghost just takes you over. You have nothing to say about. He takes the power. He just uses you. You're a vessel. So that's what it is when it comes to the power of the Holy Ghost. Like in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's going to come again. God is about to pour out this Spirit upon all mankind. It's very, very near. And one thing I'm going to tell you something, it's not going to be the same once that happens. You will have no say-so. You will be so empowered. If you just go into Acts, just take a glimpse in Acts when the apostles were endued from on high, nobody can stop them. They just couldn't. They were unstoppable because the fire of the Holy Ghost was burning within them. Before that happened, they were dried out. They argued. They had nothing to say. But all of a sudden, when the power hit them, they were witnesses. They were unstoppable with the power that every devil and demon didn't like that. That's why there was so great persecution. But that great outpouring upon all flesh is coming again. Let's go into John 16. There's a couple of verses I want to show you what the Jesus promised his disciples, what the Holy Ghost will do when he has come. He said in verse 16, verses 8, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." One thing, remember, you go into a place where there is no Christian, there's a bunch of heathen there. You don't have to speak. I can relate to a story, and Pastor Dave can relate that to you later. When he became a Christian, what had happened? When he walked into our room, he didn't say a word, but they knew. Because demons know exactly what you got. They didn't like it. They knew what you stand for. And that's all. All I'm going to say, he can tell it if he wants to later. He knows the whole story better than I do. But that's the way the Holy Ghost operates. You don't have to speak nothing. If there's demonic activity around, you will be marked. They know who you are. It says, of sin, because they do not believe in me. The sin that we see, that we figure, he smokes, he chews, he cheats on his wife, his pornography, blah, blah, that's nothing to do with that. He's talking about the sin of unbelief in Jesus that he died. Once that person becomes born again, all the rest will be put away. It takes time. Jesus washes you and cleanses you. Our job is to reprove the world of sin through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what we're doing. We're not there to clean them and tell them you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. That's God's business. Once you become a child of God, God will clean you out. That's his business. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. Only God knows that. And of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The righteousness that we obtain now, we are here as a witness, is to bring the righteousness of God to the people. God is not here. We are here instead. That's why there should be a difference when it comes to the righteousness of God in us. People will see that you are a righteous person, not only through your efforts, not only through your own efforts, it's through Jesus. Through nothing else. And that's why the Holy Spirit will always lift up Jesus. And then of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He was judged at the cross of Calvary. Jesus, when he was hanging on there, he had an appointment with every devil and demon of hell. Every demon, he summoned them. And then when he took them there, he made a shoe of them on the cross of Calvary and told them, I have defeated you. You have no more power. The judgment was upon him and he was finished. Even though he's tried, even though he's a liar, he always will be a liar. He will try to deceive you. That's why you need to go into the Word of God to know and to really know who you really are. And it says, and how be it, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, that's Jesus, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's why it's so important to have a relationship with Jesus. The comfort that you get out of that when you go into the Word of God, when you talk with Him, it's nothing comes close to the soothing and to the relaxation when you come into His presence. Everything disappears when you come into the presence of Jesus, because you know why? He loves you and me. That's why He gave His life for you and me. That's why He went to this cruel cross for you and for me, because He knew you or me or the whole world cannot save themselves. There is no way. We were evil, we are evil until we come to Jesus. And once you come to Jesus, you're perfect. You cannot sin anymore. That sin has been taken away and nailed to the cross of Calvary. It's not there anymore. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus, not you. I remember a story, the Lord reminded me of a story about a preacher. If I tell you his name, you'll all know, but that's beside the point. This guy, Jesus, was bragging to his father, I have another convent, I saved another person. Look at him. God the Father looks at him. He looks like you. That's the way God sees it. Perfect. Without any fault, without any blemish. Only through the blood of Jesus. Well, thank you. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Amen.
Hallelujah. How many of you are blood bought? All of you? Quarter of you? Well, if you're not, you're going to miss something. I'm going to be talking about an event that shows you where we are heading for. This world is not our home. How many of you know that? You can make $1 million, home, 2 million, 10 million. It's not yours. It's going to be yours for maybe 10 years, 20 years, maybe 50 years. But it's going to disappear. It's going to burn up. We have a home. We have a city whose builder and maker is God. And that's what all the Testament saints have been looking for and waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for. How will it happen? It'll happen one day very, very quickly. That's why we preach the gospel. You need to be in Christ. You need to be hid in God through Christ, through the blood of Christ. If you're not, you're going to miss that event. And you will not have time to think. You will not have time to change. You will not have time to make certain decisions. It'll be over split second. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. What's a mystery? Something that people have never heard of before. It's something hidden. Before the old New Testament, nobody knew about the rapture. How many of you know about it now? Have you ever heard of the rapture? Are you going up in the rapture? Hallelujah. Before the tribulation, there's some people who think it's going to be after the tribulation. What's the reason for rapture after the tribulation? God wants to save you from the wrath that is to come. What wrath? The Antichrist, the Mr. 666. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What does incorruptible mean? Never to become corrupted anymore. How does a person become corrupted? He falls into sin. He gets sick. There's a lot of stuff that can corrupt you. But we're going to receive something that's going to be incorruptible. It's not going to change. It's going to be perfect for the rest of eternity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. Now that's interesting. What's he talking about here? We will not go up there until something else happens. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He'll come down with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ, those who are dead and are buried, they shall rise first. For the voice of the with the trump of God, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. So everyone who has died, they will appear first on the earth. That's going to be a change. For those who are not born again, they're going to experience a dead person from their own family coming to their door and speaking to them. How do I know that it'll happen? It happened before. When Jesus rose from the grave, the graves were open, and the dead came out and walked into Jerusalem. And that's exactly what's going to happen when the dead in Christ shall rise. We shall not disappear just like that. It's not going to be secret. It's going to be loud. People will know exactly what happened. For the dead in Christ, it says, shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. Something's going to happen after a while. How long are we going to stay here? Well, those who rose from the grave during when Christ died, Christ was here for 40 days. How long the dead were here that rose, I don't know. But they sure had time to speak with their relatives because something happened that never happened before. Before that, when Jesus was preaching, not too many people, except if there was food around, would stick with him. He would give them a sharp message until it would disappear. And Jesus had to say to the 12, are you going to leave also? There were only 12 left. But after he rose from the grave, after he ascended into heaven, something happened. 3,000 people came to know the Lord in one service. Why? Because they understood. They saw what had happened to their relatives. Their relatives rose from the grave, talked to them about God, and now here are those disciples preaching about what's going to happen. It says, then something will happen. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. At the end of the tribulation, God Jesus comes down to do what? To judge this world. At the rapture before the tribulation, he comes down to do what? To take up his bride. Who is his bride? Those who have the blood on them. Those who are blood-bought. That's his bride. They will go up to meet him in the clouds. Jesus isn't coming down to earth for them. They will rise to meet him in the air. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And then there's a scripture that is not found too often in the Bible. It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. If you're downcast, if you're sick, if you're hurting, if you're going through a rough time, I'm supposed to comfort you. About what? Jesus is coming back at any moment. We're supposed to comfort one another with these words, that Jesus is coming for a bride. Hallelujah. And that bride is us. We're blood bought, and we're pure and holy. And he's coming to take us out from the wrath that is to come. It says in 1 Thessalonians, for God has not appointed us to wrath. Hallelujah. We're not going to go through the tribulation. He hasn't appointed us for that time. That's for the unbeliever. They will have to go through it. We, the bride of Christ, we're not appointed unto that wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. It don't matter if you have died. It doesn't matter if you're alive. The dead in Christ will rise. Those that are alive will be changed. Hallelujah. Thus shall be ever with him. We shall live together with him. That's going to be an awesome time. Together with Christ for the rest of eternity. Again, there's a scripture. Wherefore comfort yourself together and edify one another. Hallelujah. Edify. Lift each other up. Comfort one another. Jesus is coming back very shortly. He'll take us out of here. Talk about these things. Think about these things. Never mind hockey, never mind football. Don't have your heart set on that. Sure, I'm not a spoiled sport. God is not a spoiled sport. But if that takes over your heart, you are going to miss an important edification that's about Jesus. You're going to get sick. What are you going to talk about? Football? What are you going to talk about? Going hunting? What are you going to talk about? Going and playing hockey? That's not going to comfort you. But if I tell you, Jesus could come any moment, that sickness is just for a short time. It'll soon be gone. And then Jesus will come for us. That's comfort. Regardless how many millions of dollars you have in the bank, I can't comfort you when you're on your deathbed. But I can tell you, Jesus is coming for you. Hang on. You're going to be the biggest millionaire that the world has ever seen. You're going to have everything, a new body, a place to live, and forever and ever be in heaven with Jesus, where you're going to have universes, never mind a measly house that costs $30 million. That's nothing compared to the universe that God is going to give you. So he says, comfort together, yourselves together. Edify one another. Tell yourself these things and be rejoicing in God. No wonder the Bible says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How can you rejoice if you don't know you're going to heaven? How can you rejoice when you know that you're one heartbeat away from death and you haven't got a hope of going to heaven. There is no rejoicing. There's fear. There's trembling. I've been in the hospital, and I've seen people, old people. Some were singing hymns in the morning. They were singing about Jesus come back. Some woke up a couple hours later, swearing and screaming. 90, 85-year-old people. Where will they end up unless they turn to God? They will end up in the eternal lake of fire with no hope of redemption for the rest of eternity. We have something to hope for, something to rejoice in, something to look forward to. What's that? That's to be with Jesus. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Up till now she was her bride, his bride. Remember, he comes for his bride. Then there are 7 years. Period of what for us? The marriage supper of the Lamb, where we're going to have a wedding feast with our bridegroom. And then we're going to come back with him. His wife has made herself ready. Yes, there's coming a day when I will be the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm his bride, but the day comes when I'm his wife, when I have all the rights he has, when I have all the power he has. Hallelujah. And I have a father that's going to be my father-in-law called God. It's going to be awesome. Hallelujah. It's going to be out of this world. It says, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is come. His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Hallelujah. Pay attention to the linen. In the Old Testament, if you go into Leviticus, there's only a few people that were allowed to wear linen. And that's the priest. And they could not go and sacrifice to God unless they had that linen on there. Jesus was wrapped in fine linen. Hallelujah. When he was buried, he had his marriage gown on already at his death. Hallelujah. God is giving us all these hints that we may learn from them and look forward to it. And it says, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is what? The righteousness of the saints. Not the righteous acts of the saints, like some Bibles translate. The fine linen is your righteousness, the blood of Jesus. You are made right, clean, and holy. That's the fine linen you're wearing, you're going to be wearing, you're going to be given. It says to her was granted. It was given to her. You can't earn it. It was granted to her. It was given to her. And she put it on and stood before her bridegroom. And hallelujah, what a sight that will be. Ears have never heard, eye has never heard, seen, or your imagination cannot comprehend what I'm trying to tell you here. For what is in store for us who know this incredible God. So if you got a relative, tell him about Jesus if he doesn't know. Make it sound real. If they don't turn to this Christ, they are going to miss an opportunity for eternity, for the rest of their eternity. There's only one life. It'll soon be past. And what you do for Christ will last. The rest is going to pass away. So if you got relatives, if you got friends, take time out to talk to them. Don't push it into their face. Try to seek God when you talk to them, because this is why we are here. We are His ambassadors, and we need to give that message to them as often as we possibly can, for it will soon be over. Hallelujah. Thank you. May the Lord open your heart to this and make you a powerhouse for God, that you may be able to walk up to somebody and say, it's going to be better on ahead, but there's conditions. You got to have this Jesus. So open your heart to this message and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.